We didn't do Pirkei Avos today. I had a concert take over. I had to deal with some issues going on in the yeshiva, Baruch Hashem. Hopefully everything will be clean soon and back to our normal states of living conditions. But I want to go back to Pirkei Avos for a second for today. I didn't tell you to bring it, but if you have it, you can share it, follow me inside. In the beginning of the fifth parak of Pirkei Avos, the Mishnah has a number of tens, things that happen in groups of ten. Some Amaros Nivra Olam, the world was created with 10 sayings, Vayomer, 10 Vayomers. And then we have Asar Doros by Adam Ve'ad Noach, 10 generations from Adam until Noach. Then we have 10 generations from Noach till Avram. And then we have 10 tests that Avram was given. I want to read to you a few of these tens a little more carefully and understand what exactly is going on in this Parsha, in this Perek and Pirkei Avos, and how it relates to our beginning of meeting our hero of the story and of much of our lives, which is Avram Avinu. The world was created in tens, in a group of 10 statements. 10 is a number, as we know from Minyanim, for example, from Minyan. It's like a group. It's a unit. It's a unit, it's a group, it's a complete unit, a complete group. And therefore, the world was created with a complete set of system that was there for us to use properly. And we know Adam Rishon, we know from the very beginning, failed in that mission. His one test that he had to make this perfect, this complete world perfect, he erred in. And we're left now with an incomplete world. And then the world until Noach's time was only getting worse and worse. And says Mishnah Avos, you know why Hashem waited that long? 10 generations to destroy them? They were bad beforehand. Lodia Kama, I'm in the second Mishnah now, in the Pirkei Avos, Perek Chamishi. Lodia Kama Erech HaPayim Lefanav. To show you how patient God is. He is so patient that every single generation from Adam until Noach was just getting God angrier and angrier, but he waited until Noach. Until finally the Mabul comes, wipes everyone out except for Noach and his family. 10 more generations. Minoach and Avram. Why wait? They were not filled with tzaddikim. The opposite. Rishon. Why did he wait 10 generations again to show us Kama Erech HaPayim, how patient God is again, despite the fact you'd imagine you're starting from scratch and the same problems arise, maybe even worse. And he waits, he's patient. But when Avram came, it says, V'kibol schar kulam. He gets schar for all of them combined. He gets everyone's schar. What does that mean, gets everyone's schar? Doesn't he first get their own schar? The answer is not in this case. Why not? Because Avram Avinu, if it wasn't for him, the world would have been destroyed a second time. It wouldn't have been through a mabul. Hashem promised no more mabuls. Something else would have had to happen. But Avram Avinu didn't only get better, but he made people better. He made the world a better place to live in. Noach didn't attempt it. Whatever reason it was, he stayed to himself with his family. If you came to say, hey, crazy man, what are you doing building that big ark? He would tell you. But he wasn't interested in converting you. But Avram Avinu was quite different. And because he was so different, the entire world was spared on his behalf. And because he was the cause of the whole world being spared, for that he's Mekabel Schar Kulam. He gets the credit for everyone. Because they're only here today because of him. Now, I want to point out one more very important line here. I'll get to it very soon. In Mishnah Gimel, it says, Asar Nisyonos Nisnasa Avram Avinu. Avram was given 10 tests. And by the way, just so you know, there's a big machlokes which those tests were actually. Not everyone agrees what the 10 tests were. For example, Rabbi Yonah, in our commentary, says the first test that he had, you know what it was? What was the first test Avram was given? So that's what most people say, but not Rabbi Yonah. What does he say, Rabbi Yonah? We don't have it. We don't even have it in the actual text of the Chumash, but it's hinted to. What's that? Not his father, but close to it. Close. The Kimshon Ha'esh. You're thrown into the fiery furnace. The Kimshon Ha'esh. That was the first test that he had. Now, it's not mentioned. Some people don't say first test. People say like Joshua was Lechukah. Not everyone says that, but Lechukah, according to some opinions, is the first test. We don't have this story in the Chumash, but we have references to it. As to why we sign the Chumash is an excellent question, but not for now. Why are some things in the Chumash that are some miracles and some are not? Great question, but not for now. The Ramban addresses it, a very interesting answer he gives. But listen to this next line over here. Avram passed all 10 tests he was given. And I mentioned already the list of 10 is different depending on which commentary you look at. Why was he given 10 tests? Listen to this very important line, but it's not so clear what it means. Leodia kama chibasu shel Avram avinu lav shalom. To show how much love Avram had. To show who? Show Hashem? Did Hashem not know that already? Hashem didn't know how much love Avram had? Who are we trying to show Avram such love? And there's a shot I saw quoted over here. I think Rabbi Yonah brings it down. To show the people in his time. how dedicated he was to his craft, to being a God-fearing person. Now I'm going to share with you a big chiddush in a minute that's going to relate much more to us about who he's really trying to show this to. We'll get back to that. Avram had a journey, and the journey started in last week's parsha, but it was really barely referenced. And even not even referenced in the journey is what happened before Avram was thrown into the fiery furnace. What happened before him? The Rambam in Hilchos Avodas Kochavim, Mishnah Torah, and Sefer Mada, so he brings down Avram's journey. Now I want to share with you because this journey is extremely, extremely crucial. It's so crucial because according to many opinions, we are today building off of or trying to tap into the greatness of our avos. That's all we have is what the avos were. Whatever Avram did, we are the possessors of that spiritual DNA to this day. As a matter of fact, the first bracha Shmona Esrei is what? How does it end? Baruch Hashem, Magen Avraham. And I think it's according to Shlach HaKadosh, you know what he says that means? Not that Hashem protected Avram back in the day from the Kibshon Eish. That's not what it means. It means that Hashem protects you and I. We have a piece of spiritual DNA of Avram Avinu in our heart. To this day, if we can tap into it, we can tap into the Koach of Avram Avinu. To this day, like you have the color of your eyes from your parents. You have physical DNA. Spiritual DNA is no different. Spiritual DNA is real spiritual things. And whatever Avram was and what he did, he brought to the table, it's part of who we are. Hashem protects it in us. Magen Avraham, we have a piece of that. Let's see who Avram was for a second. And really, in the end of the day, it's who we are. The world was crazy when Avram was born. Crazy. People believed in idols. Chaos ruled the world. It had been destroyed already one time entirely. I'm reading right now, Halacha Gimel and Perak Aleph was Chavim. Kevin Shenigmal Eitan Zeh. When this strong person, Avraham Avinu, was finished being weaned, the age of 3 years old, according to my opinion, 3 years old, his mind started to wander. He started to philosophize. He was small, but he said, this world, it makes no sense. These idols are in charge of things. They're made by us. Maybe it's the sun, but then the sun would set at an even time, so maybe it's the moon would go back away the next day, the stars. He was a philosopher. But at the end of the day, he goes on to figure out what's going on. He's analyzing, he's trying, but he had no one to speak to. And according to the Rambam, the reason why is because he was mushkab or kastim. He was entrenched in an idolatrous society, and there was no one there to speak to. Even his parents were idolaters. They even sold idols. Can you imagine being a young kid searching for truth in a world that's completely ignoring truth? And he knows they don't have it, but he doesn't know what it is. And he starts to search and to think until finally, he concluded in his mind, there's a single God. There's a single God. But not only concluded that in his mind, and he got somewhere, but he said, I cannot live in a world where people think differently than that. Now, when he was thrown into the fiery furnace, I do not believe he thought he would survive. I do not believe he thought he would live. As a matter of fact, he had yet to hear a single utterance from God. He never spoke to God. The first time he speaks to God is our parsha, Lech Lecha. Until then, he never spoke to God. He intuited God. Why would he die for that? God didn't tell him, die for this. Why would he die for that? And the answer is, he refused to live a life that was false. He could not bear, he'd rather die than live a life of falsehood, of lies, of silliness. And therefore, he was prepared not to survive through miracles. He was prepared to be killed for the sake of heaven. And in the end, to his wondrous miracle, God saved his life. But now Avram doesn't stop there. He's not okay now just being someone who now knows there's a God and was saved, but he starts to proselytize to the world. He's not okay with you doing bad either. Not only himself doing bad, which he already had committed to a life of truth. And even to die for that. But when he was saved, he couldn't tolerate you doing bad. Not you in this room. People in this generation. And he went and he preached to the masses. Can you imagine the uphill battle he faced? Though he was, already reputation was growing at that point in time. He was known, I guess, for having walked through a fiery furnace. Pretty big deal. Now, when we describe this beginning of this before we get to our parsha right now, That's a pretty intimidating Magen Avraham. You know, someone said, I think LeBron James actually said about his kid. He named his kid LeBron Jr. And he says he feels bad for LeBron Jr. Can you imagine growing up with the same name as a legend? As probably the current, if not the best, one of the best basketball players in the world right now? I don't want to get into the debates right now, but at some point in his career, he was the best. At some point in his career, for sure. To call yourself the same that you have, it's like setting up for like failure. And here we are telling you right now that you possess DNA of Avram Yitzchak, you're called Bnei Yisrael. That sounds like it's also quite a task to live up to. And maybe it's a little intimidating and we should be like overwhelmed with that, but it's not true. We don't believe that. We're not trying to be Avram Yitzchak. That's not trying to be. We're not trying to be that. But we know that we possess the qualities of our avos. That's what we know. In any generation, we ever have a person who dies al pikeach Hashem, he stands up and he dies, it's because he has this Magen Avraham, he has a piece of Avram inside of him. And Avram is someone who would have died for God. And when you tap into that Avraham that you have, that's what you're doing. We don't want to die for God, we want to live for God. I'd rather not be killed for God, I want to thrive for God. But what Avram Avinu did was he taught us that you can't live a life of falsehood. Not only that, but you can't be okay with someone else living that life either. What does it mean not to live a life of falsehood? What does that even mean? So I'll start with his first test that we have. This is Parsha Lech Lecha. Before I do, though, I want to mention the answer to the question. According to some things I saw, what does it mean that he wanted to show how much love Avram had? So was it to show Hashem? No. So yeah, can we show people in this time? But I heard a pshat one time, it was to show Avram. Avram himself had no idea how much he loved Hashem, how much he would give up for Hashem. He didn't know. Hashem had to show him how connected you are to me, how great you could be, that you were willing to die for me. You're willing to leave everything behind. Everything you know you'll leave behind for me. You'd kill your firstborn son if I even would have asked you to. You have to understand how great you are. Because you don't even understand yet. The tests were given not for Hashem's sake, and not so we could read about it, but so Avraham would understand how great he actually was. He had to know that, because if you know how great you are, you can't afford to slack off. You can't afford to. That's why we're okay slacking off. So what's a big deal if I slack off? I'm not so great. Right? God should never test us to show how great we really are. But just so you know, you say every day you're davening, Magen Avraham. You know what that means? That you have DNA in your body that stems from the greatest people in the world. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. All three are in your DNA. Not Moshe, because Moshe was from the tribe of Levi. So not everyone's from that tribe. I happen to be a Levi, that's true, but it could be us from a different part of Levi, who knows? But I will tell you that we are all from Avram, and Yitzchak, and Yaakov. It means Magen Avraham, Hashem gave you such DNA. You have the world awaiting your arrival. And when you get here, the potential that you have to affect not only yourself, people around you is tremendous. What did Avram do? First test we have that everyone agrees on is definitely a test. No one says it wasn't a test, was Lech Lecha. What I don't understand though is what was the big deal of that test? What's the big deal? Not only that, but I'll tell you more than that. There's a medrash that says there was a machlokus among the commentaries. What was the bigger test? Lech Lecha or Akedas Yitzchak? What? Like, is that even a question? If you look at Akedas Yitzchak, it's actually the words. When Hashem gives him the test, Kachnas Bincha, Perichah Beis, Pasuk Beis, Parsha Vayera, beginning of the Akedas Yitzchak story. Hashem says, "Kachnas bincha zichidcha sherhavta zitzak v'lech lecha." Go on a journey. You think it's coincidence? It says lecha over there and lecha over here. Also, it's no coincidence. They're mamish like neck and neck. Which was the more intense, difficult test? What? What's the difficulty in lech lecha, leaving your family of idolaters behind? Of leaving. By the way, Hashem promised, "I'll give you great wealth. You'll become famous. Go." That's a test. People leave their homes all the time to get great jobs. Parnassa. He was given Parnassa. You'll be great. I'll make you a great person. What's the test of Lech Lecha that we even would question which is better? So I heard this morning, actually, just about an hour ago, Rabbi Yudin told me, he saw Rabbi Yosef the following idea, and I understand this very well, and I'm sure many of you do also, as you're not beginning your journey. You've been on a journey for many years already, but a different part of journey, like a very much more concentrated, intense journey. of study, of analysis, of questioning, without distraction, hopefully. That's the goal and game plan. It is so hard to start. It is hard to start from a state of like stationary to a state of movement. I'm not accusing anyone here of having been stationary beforehand, but let's be honest. Our summer before we got to yeshiva for the year, religious values, religious commitment levels, I wouldn't say stationary, that sounds too, you know, rude, but definitely slow, slower. To start and push is so hard. When you have that first step, that kick off the wall when you're swimming, or the first step out of the sprinter's block, when you get that thing going, you have momentum. A consistency was building off of growth and growth. And I'm not believing it, God forbid. But you know how hard it is to start the journey? For real. To leave things behind and start the journey, it's very, very difficult. So difficult that they weren't sure what was harder. It's hard. Certainly hard. And more than it being hard for that reason alone. Moshe Feinstein and Drash Moshe points out and says, you know why it was so hard also? It was so hard because at that period in time, Moshe often didn't understand it. Why do I have to go there for all those things? Hashem gave no instruction. He didn't tell him where he's going even. I'll tell you later. It'll all work out well. We don't like serving God if I don't understand why. I talked to someone yesterday about this topic. You know, if you were the Karate Kid and Mr. Miyagi said to you, wax on, wax off, wash my car, paint my house, you might turn him down. And the person yesterday said to me, I would turn him down. He said, yesterday, I don't want that. It's very hard for us this day that we live in to do things without understanding why. But Avram passed that test with flying colors. He did it because Hashem said so. That means that if you think for a second, I do because Hashem said so, that I don't think, well, do I want to or not? Does it make sense or not? Because God said so. I'll end with this because I know that right now my promise to Avram is I very violated that based on the noise outside, so I'm not going to go further, but I'll say one last point. In the parsha that we have, this is parsha, we're told a very strange line. I'll end with this, and it's going to build up to it's concluding what we said until now. It says, "Vayikach Avram pasuk hey et Sarai ishto as lo ben achim." Avram takes Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his nephew. There's kol rechasham asher rachashu, all the property that they had, and the nefesh asher b'charan, and the people they converted, inspired in Charan. Listen to this line. Ready? Vayetsu aleches arts of Canaan. They went to go towards Canaan, and then. By a vo art to Canaan, they got to Canaan. Chiddush? It's like a GPS. You reach your destination. So usually when you go somewhere, usually you get there in the end. What is the chiddush over here? So the chiddush is, go back one parsha. Parsha Noach. Listen to what it says in Parsha Noach. It's a very similar line. Vayikach terach es Avram b'no. V'es lo ben haran ben b'no. V'es samar kalaso esh Avram b'no. They left the work hasdim. This is Terach, Avram, Sarah, to go where? Lelechet Ar to Canaan. You know what it says? Vayavo al Charan, vayeshvu sham. But they got to Charan and they settled there. And it says in the last pasuk of parsha, Vayamas Terach b'Charan. Terach died in Charan. You set a journey for yourself. You have a GPS. You have a destination in mind. But not everybody gets there. Terach didn't make it to his destination in the end. But Avram did. Avram made it. You know why he made it? Because of everything we said up till now. Because number one is he would do anything to get to that destination. He would have died for God. He didn't think he'd be saved. He didn't care to understand the reason behind it. He was all in. Like the Karate Kid. He was all in. He didn't care why. He told me to do it. You're my sensei. I do whatever you tell me to do. He started strong, he didn't hesitate at all, and he did it for all the right reasons. That's how you get to your destination, by following that dictum, and we have that in our blood, Magen Avraham. The problem is that we have a lot around us, and we're not so good at that. We have two choices in life from this point forward, and really in the past tense as well. That we say to Kadosh Baruch Hu, I have Avraham inside of me, I can be great. Hashem doesn't test us, thank God, like that. But he tests Avraham to let him know how great he could have been. So let me share with you, as I told you the other night in my house when we came last week, you can be great. I don't know how great you can be, but neither do you. But you will never become the greatest person you could be if you give up. It's too hard to start. I don't understand this. It doesn't make sense to me. I'm not going to do it at all. I don't know if I want to give these things up in my life. You know, God's nice and all, but give me a break. Like, that means I can't do X, Y, and Z. I like doing X, Y, and Z also. Then you will never get to the destination that God set aside for you. But if you say to yourself, you know what? I want greatness for myself. I demand greatness for myself. I believe, and I say to myself every day, my game, I have the DNA of greatness. I have it inside me. I haven't figured out yet how to get there. But if I put myself and say, God, Baruch Hu, I'm all in. Tell me what to do. How do I do well? I'm not, no ulterior motives for me. If I don't understand, I'm still doing it. I'm starting from scratch and I'll start now strong. Then you have a destination that you will arrive at guaranteed or your money back, says the Chumash. You will get to where you're supposed to get to in the end if you try your hardest. But if you dabble in it, dabble in this, I dabble in that. Do this, I do that. I do, I pick and choose what I want to do. So you'll get somewhere. You can get to Charan. You'll get somewhere. But you won't get to where you would hope and where God hoped you would get to. I'll give you all the following bracha. As you daven Shmoneh Esrei every single day, remind yourself now what that first bracha actually means. It means you were blessed with nobility as your blood. You come from a line of kings, of royalty. It means that you can also be royal. Because bracha should bless us with the ability to be able to do the right thing all the time, to know what the right thing is all the time. Mitzvah Shem, which we zocha to have destinations, first of all. And we just have to be able to achieve those definitions as well. Have a great Shabbos.